Alrighty, Adam, thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
It's taken us almost a year, or more actually, to get around to it. And I'm a bit intrigued by you because I don't know very many people, let alone someone in their early 30s, who's not on social media, actively on social media. So that's kind of the start of where you and I are at, because I'm intrigued by it.
Yep. Yeah, it has taken us a year. I was hesitant at first, and then I sort of thought, why not? May as well. It's just having a chat. So I'm looking forward to this.
Well, the good thing about it is that there's a bit of a message there, and you can talk for as long as you like about it. So as opposed to if you were interviewed on the news, you'd probably get 2 minutes.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that that's the thing that intrigues you to want to talk to me about. So I did have social, so I was in year 12, roughly, upper high school years when Facebook blew up. And I had MySpace before that. And I don't know if you remember MySpace, but it was like the top friends. You picked your top friends and you published them. You could only have 8.
Okay.
And then it changed. I think you could change it and have 16. And I don't really remember much else about it, but MySpace sort of came first and then Facebook blew up. And then I had all the social media through. Didn't have Snapchat. I maybe got it once and sort of explored it and thought, I don't really get much out of this. And then definitely had Instagram for a long time. And got rid of Facebook inspired by an ex or a partner at the time. Met her and she didn't have Facebook. And I went, that's cool. My sister's partner, he also never got Facebook and just sort of in a bit of a stubborn, I'm not going to get it, I'm going to go against the grain. So I got rid of Facebook, and as soon as I did it, I realized, whoa, like I was gaining very little from that, and I was losing a lot of time and losing a lot of productivity, and I don't think you can quantify how much it affects your mental health. You can't. And I think most people, as with any addiction, will tell themselves that they're not addicted to something. But I think with social media, people are better at being like, yeah, I'm pretty addicted to it. You know, I use it a lot. And you see people do it, you know, just pull their phone out at a table. And I'm guilty of it myself. Like, I'm not saying I'm perfect with this and I'm on my phone way more than I should be. But you see, you're at a table and someone pulls out their phone and just opens Instagram when they were actually opening their phone to check the time or to check, you know, something in their emails or something, and they open Instagram first and then they close it straight away. Or they just open it, start scrolling, and then realize, oh, I'm in a room with people here that I should be talking to.
What do you think makes it so addictive?
I've been reading up and listening to a lot of podcasts on it over the last few years. I mean, it's designed, and there was a really good documentary. Did you see The Social Dilemma?
No.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. It's all about, you know, the social media giants and Meta, Facebook, Instagram. I guess that's all the same company, but and how that they are designed to be addictive, and that we as people are actually the product because they use the social media to gather the data on us and then sell it to these big companies, which was that big lawsuit that Zuckerberg went through Cambridge Analytica. So we're actually the product. So without us, they don't survive. We don't pay anything, but the data analytics companies are paying for our data. And so we're the ones getting sold. And so it's in their interest. Even I was hearing something recently that the dating apps are designed to be addictive and to not have people match. They're designed to have people stay on them. So that's what makes them addictive. But then I think what makes them addictive, that's probably the reason, sorry to cut you off, but then what makes them addictive to us, to humans, is the instant gratification. And you don't realize that, you know, seeing that like and how much that, you know, you're waiting for that to happen again or whatever.
The dopamine hit.
Yeah.
So it's about you looking at your own post to see what other people have said about it.
Yes. And two parts to it I do have a Facebook account. It's inactive. I don't have an Instagram account, don't have Snapchat, I don't have TikTok, anything else. I've got WhatsApp because I travel quite a lot, and I've kept Facebook Messenger which was handy because a lot of my contacts from overseas that I've met over the years, you can still start a new message with them through Facebook, and sometimes Facebook's better, sometimes WhatsApp's better, or just iMessage because I'm on an iPhone. So I do have some bits and pieces, but not the profile. So I do have stuff, and I found that there were two things that I benefited, that my well-being, mental health benefited from not having it. One was I didn't spend my day thinking, what can I do and get a photo or get a record of to show someone else? And so I found myself doing more things for intrinsic happiness, like genuinely makes me happy, rather than do this, get the photo, show everyone else, puff your chest out.
So look at me.
Look at me. Yeah, so that's the one side of it. And then on the other side is subconsciously seeing everyone else's posts and thinking that's what I need to be trying to do. You know, oh, that person's
match
got
it.
The sold sticker on their house, you know, the solo camping trip, the really wholesome, you know, or the other side of it, the partying, or just seeing that and thinking, oh, I wish I was doing that. And that part was very in the back of my head, I think.
Do you think there's an element of that when girls are looking at girls that have made themselves up, they're not actually real because they've photoshopped themselves, but when you're looking at it, you think they are.
And I think that one, that part of it, and men and women, there's you know, that's I think all genders, that's been around for a long time. That's the magazine era, you know, that part of it, that self-image thing. So yeah, I think that plays a big part in a lot of teenage well-being and mental health. Probably that like mid-teenage years.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it bleeds into the younger and definitely into adult years as well.
Because the kids have got the phones early, haven't they, when they're young?
Really early, yeah. I can't remember when I got my first phone, but it was a phone. Like it was a... And I did hear that they're starting to make more phones that don't do these things.
The dumb phone?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, well, but... And it's still a smartphone, but it's only... Okay. It does... the bare minimum, and you can't go on, you can't get certain apps, you can't get this, you can't get that. The dumb phone, yeah.
Well, you know, we've got this thing in our pocket that's amazing, that you could look up anything you wanted to look up, you could navigate, you could buy something on the run, you could do so many things.
I mean, and so I'm not against technology. I think technology, like, and the iPhone's really done it, and there's all the other smartphones now, but even just now, when, you know, you've got this new recording device and first time you've used it, not sure what the error message means. And you've got I think that's a user manual underneath it. A lot of things don't come with a user manual anymore. And it just gives you a QR code and it's online somewhere. And so that's putting less paper into the world. That's creating less clutter in people's houses, which I think is really, like, I find that really important. And yeah, so I was going to look it up, you know, you got it sorted without, but I spend way too much time on my phone. I probably spend more time on my phone than a lot of people that do have social media, doing just other random stuff.
Like what?
Looking at boats. Selling a boat at the moment. I'm already looking at what next one I'm going to buy. Looking at property. Researching where I'm going to go on my next holiday.
Yeah.
Watching sports highlights, my favourite sports teams, reading up news articles that interest me, or yeah.
So stuff that you might do on a TV, but you're on the go, so you can do it.
Yeah, and it's I think that without the social media, I choose which direction I go with it. And it still bleeds in somehow. They still have the algorithms, whether you've got social media or not, which I don't have a huge problem with it. You know, I don't find it to be like a, they shouldn't be allowed to do this. We all sign up for it. Yeah. We got the phone, we go on, we do it. They give you the little messages now that say accept the cookies and stuff. And so you know what's happening. You know, everyone's had that experience where you've been talking about tents and then all of a sudden tents are advertised.
Yeah, that's right.
But, and I don't have a big problem with that. I don't have much to hide though. So I don't mind if they're listening to me.
Yeah, that's right.
But I don't like it when you go on and you know that it's driven towards you.
Well, we've been played, really.
Big time.
There's a lot of very clever psychologists, psychiatrists figuring out what makes us tick, and they've given it to us for free. Now we're in there. They're collecting the data on us so they can advertise to us.
Yeah.
So clever.
Really clever.
And we're just playing along.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, look, a tent.
Yeah,
isn't that funny? No, it's not funny.
No, it's frightening. Calculated.
Yeah, and it's frightening.
It is a bit frightening.
Yeah.
And it's too far gone. It's actually probably too far gone, you know, like we rely on it now. And so I think that we maybe not, and I think it's already starting to happen, but I think we'll look back on technology over the last sort of 10, 15 years and probably the next 15 or so and think, wow, that really changed the world. And it'll be like a bit of a smoking, you know, how we look back on smoking in the 60s and go like, no one knew how bad it was for you.
Mm.
So now people still do it, but at this stage they know it's bad for you. So I think eventually it'll get to a point where the social media companies will be regulated a little bit more, or required a little bit more to give people options or give people more information of what's out there.
And where their data's going.
Where their data's going, but also like the effects that, you know, social media addiction can have on your mental health. Mm. And I don't think I ever got there where it was affecting my well-being, but I just got rid of it. And I actually don't think that not having it, so I've got rid of it, but I don't think not having it's a solution.
Mm.
I think that if you can have it and have a good relationship with it, then great. It does connect people in a lot of ways. It allows people to reconnect.
Mm.
So there's a lot of positives with it, but I don't feel I don't feel confident that I had a good relationship with it. Not that it was bad. I wasn't addicted to it. I wasn't, well, probably I was just as much as everyone else is, but I wasn't, you know, I need it. But I think, yeah, that for me, I'm better off not having it than having a slightly poor relationship with it, if that makes sense.
Mm. Yeah. Well, as a person of your age at the moment, you're a bit like a unicorn.
A little bit.
With regards to this, and you know, how do you actually get by without it? You know, from the point of view of good being question. In touch with people.
And I like that you said I'm in my early 30s. I'm 35 this month, so still holding on to that for a little bit. Yeah, and I think there's more and more people my age that are getting rid of bits and pieces.
Okay. Yeah.
Definitely that are sat, and even just going to the point of like getting the taking the app off of their phone, and so they have to go into their internet browser on their phone to look at it, or deactivating their account for a month. Which I did that for about 2 years, my Instagram account, until I went like, I'm just going to keep doing this. Why am I keeping it for my followers?
So you've actually cancelled your account?
The Instagram one's gone, yep.
So you can never get that back?
No.
But all of your history is still there somewhere?
Probably.
Yeah, okay. Interesting.
I did tick a box that said, you know, request your information back, and I never got anything, I don't think. So it's probably there. I could probably track it down if I tried, but I'm also not too phased, you know, a few photos of me traveling Mexico or whatever. It's not, you know, I don't have kids on there or anything like that. So I'm not too phased by it. But your question was, how do I get by? Quite easily, like really easily. The things that you do, like, I guess the more specific questions that people ask with that are like, what about for events? Like, how do you get invited to events? And I say, well, if the event is something that the person holding it really wants me at, they'll include me. And I feel a little bit guilty sometimes that, you know, this person has to make their event on Facebook and then go, well, Adam won't get it, so I'll send it to him
via text.
Mm. But if they're, you know, close enough friend, then they don't have a problem with that, and we have a laugh about it, like, so that's fine. So events, and then I've missed some events and not known they ever happened because I was not on there, and it's awesome. Get to have the night at home and don't have to come up with an excuse to not go to things that you don't want to go to.
That was my next thought, was do you feel like you're missing out?
Occasionally.
Mm.
Occasionally, yeah.
I guess what you don't know, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but it makes, I don't know, like I have and I'd like to be more of a minimalist, but if you have Instagram, and I'll just use Instagram because it's probably the biggest one, then you have non-stop photos, memories of everyone you know. That's like having the huge DVD collection and you can't decide which DVD to watch, you know, back in the day. Whereas if you've got, like, I'm sure back in the day when, you know, you only had a couple of different options, that became like a real special thing to you, you know, that was it. And now, like, we've got Netflix and Spotify, you can watch anything, do it, you know, see anything anytime you want. So it loses that, you know, connection. So if I post a photo on Instagram, you see it, you know, My mum sees it. My auntie sees it. My girlfriend sees it. A guy I played footy with when I was 15 sees it. And all of you like it. You've all responded the same to something that I've put out there for everyone to see. None of you feel as connected to me over that photo. But if I take a photo when I'm, you know, visiting some city in Colombia and I think, oh, Ant's going to love that. That's because it's, you know, something that we've had a conversation about in the past or something like that, then that brings that connection together. So the phone still helps.
But would you be inclined more to text that photo rather than post it? 100%.
You text it to me. I can't post it. Yeah, I can't post it. So what it makes, what I feel it makes me do, and maybe this is me thinking about it more like deeper than what I should, but it makes me actually present with my experiences. And who would love to hear about this? Who wants to hear this story? And it allows you to tell stories more. So when, like I said before, I travel a lot. Well, not a lot, but I travel a bit. And when you come back from a trip and you've posted it all over social media, it opens the conversation, which is really cool. So people go, oh, I saw you were in Indonesia last month. And you know, yeah, how was it? And then that conversation starts. And if you don't have that opportunity, then you see someone, they go, what have you been up to? And you can start from scratch and allows you to tell the story. And I like to tell stories and I like to hear other people's stories. And so it takes a little bit of storytelling away, I think, social media, because it's just all on there already. And, you know, you hear some conversations where you're like, oh, I saw you're in New Zealand and you went skiing and stuff. Yeah, I went to, and you know, then that's, you know, done. There's no story told. Because you've already seen the photo, so you don't need to.
Yeah, that's right. Someone says, what have you been up to? You say, oh, not a lot.
Yeah.
Check out my page.
Yeah.
If you find out.
Yeah. Just here you go. Here's the link. Just check it out. Yeah. And it, like, I don't know. I'm passionate about mental health and well-being. And that's sort of come from a time here and there when I've not been at my happiest and tried to sort of read up about it and look into things. And this topic just keeps coming up. Every time I read into it, it's, you know, almost always one of the points, you know, if you're trying to get better sleep, stay off your phone at night. That's one of the tips that everyone says. You know, if you're feeling lonely, try and, you know, not rely on social media for your connections. Go get out there into the community and things like that. Just whatever it is, they're just random examples. So the social media thing, I wouldn't say I'm passionate about that and like, don't have it, you shouldn't have it, it's terrible for you, rah, rah, rah. But I do see it being a point that it definitely makes me happier not having it, for sure.
Does it?
For sure.
Yeah. Okay.
100%. Yeah.
How
good's that? Yeah. Oh, it's great. Mm. Yeah. It's awesome. And yeah, actually one of the funny points, like I've been single for quite a long time. Not right now. And I'm very happy. But when I was single, you would meet two different types of people. When you say, I don't have social media. One who would say, cool, that's awesome, like yourself, you know, interested in it. And then the other type of person who would just freak out and be like, nah, something's up with this dude.
He's a weirdo.
Yeah. And I had that happen a couple of times where you're like, oh, and you're like, okay, well, if you don't trust me because I don't have social media, that's probably not going to work between us. So, yeah, interesting though.
It's one of the saddest things is to go out for dinner and see a couple on their phones. Mm. They're not even talking to each other.
Mm.
And I say to myself, why don't you text each other, you know, as a joke, because they're sitting opposite with their phones. They may as well converse like that.
Seriously.
And they'll be like that the whole night.
Yeah.
Neither of us have even smiled.
Yep. Yep. Taking photos of their food and posting it to their social media send to their friends that aren't there.
And they haven't told the stories.
Yeah.
That you talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to tell your stories. And you see it in, and you know, even couples, friends, kids, you know, or you know, the classic example on the train back in, you know, the 90s, before all of this existed, people actually didn't always, but spoke on public transport and made friends. And you know, and you actually see it a little bit. You go into the like subways in like a bigger city and your phone cuts out going underground, and there's some spots where there's no service and people sometimes start talking again.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, oh, well, you've reconnected. Mm. Yeah. I'd love to do something in this space, you know. As you know, I teach water sports pretty well and work at a summer camp in the US, and I'm really happy in my career and my job, but I'd love to do something in this space of like technology cleanse, you know.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Yeah.
Cleanse.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people need. And the camp I work at in the US, we're technology free.
Okay.
So the kids aren't allowed to bring their phones, and actually the staff, the leadership team all have their phones on them for emergency reasons, but the counsellors aren't allowed to have their phones either. And you just see how much kids don't miss their phones.
So you go across there for the winters?
Yeah, for their summer, our winter.
For their summer camps, which are how long?
The camp I go to, I'm there for about 4 months.
Okay.
About 3 months with kids there.
So how does that work? Varying states have holidays at different times, or...?
They all pretty much have that big summer break.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so I'm in California, and I've been doing it for 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I meant to do it as a once-off, just as a way. I tore my ACL when I was 19 and wanted to get away from the footy club, because I was just hanging out at the footy club and not having the positive benefits of actually being fit and really feeling a part of the community. I was just sort of on the outskirts, as much as everyone was really good about trying to keep me in there. So I thought, I'm just going to escape for a winter, and found a summer camp option, and then, you know, here we are 15 years later, became my career. And
What does the summer camp entail of? What do you have to do?
It's an outdoor adventure camp, and so kids come for 1 to 2 weeks at a time. I run the waterfront, which we have ski boats and sailing and kayaking, stand-up paddleboarding,
okay,
sort of stuff. Yeah. And it's a huge camp with ropes course and mountain bikes. And the cool aspects of summer camp is it's all ours anyway, and a lot of them are driven around kids having fun, making connection, getting to know themselves, growth and just social emotional skills, as opposed to some sort of curriculum and skills based. It's just like all about, you know, that
kid. Wholesome.
It's really cool. Yeah. It's cool. And I reckon the staff get, because you know it's like when you there's a saying, it's like if you read something, do something, or teach someone, like they're the different levels of how well you'll learn it. You know, if you read about it, you'll learn a bit. If you're actually doing it, or if you're watching someone else, then if you're doing it yourself. But if you're teaching someone how to do it, you really learn. And so when we're putting these, you know, through these trainings of how to help these kids grow and everything, the staff, who a lot of them are like 19, 20, they grow more than what the kids do, you know,
because they have a
full summer of it, you know, as opposed to 2 weeks or one week, and they're a bit more mature and conscious of what the benefits are. And yeah, I've certainly grown as a person from doing it. And just the travel, I think travel's...
Yeah.
So
when these kids rock up, they hand in their phones or they don't bring the phones?
Majority of them don't bring them.
So the parents are on board with that, because a lot of parents are panicky that the child doesn't have the phone, because they need to be able to contact you.
That's a good point. So we have about 240 campers come each session. I would say 200 of them leave their phones at home, and the parents are on board with that and think it's
fair. What age are these kids?
7 through to 16, 17.
Okay.
Yep. And so a lot of them wouldn't have one yet anyway. I would say majority of those parents are on board, stoked, happy. In fact, almost 100% of them. Then there'd be another sort of maybe 20 kids who have to bring them for travel reasons on their way or coming home or something like that, and they hand them in. And there'd probably be another 10 to 20 who have it with them and we never know about it. You would imagine. And sometimes they get busted with them and then they have to hand them in and it's not the end of the world, but they don't really have an opportunity to be on them. You know, you'd have to really hide it in your bed or whatever. But there's now a really big, just because it's what people are used to, parents want to see photos of their kids and want to have information. So the camp has to do a blog every day.
Okay.
And there's photos posted every day. And
it's probably a better way.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you notice that those kids without their phones seem to be having a better time and happier?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Because you've got a different job scenario locally in Adelaide, where you've got the same sort of thing, water sports, where kids turn up, but these kids have probably got their phones with them or...
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes. But they wouldn't have them during their...
Not while they were
during
the
their activities and stuff. So I see it in that regard as well. Yes. I know for sure that if I don't have my phone with me for the first little bit, I feel a little bit naked and a little bit, you know, what if someone needs to contact me?
Yeah.
Like if you go camping, right, for a 3 or 4 day trip and you have that first little patch, oh, I'm out of service now. I think most people would probably go, oh, well, is there what service over happens? Here? Is there service over here? What if something happens? Mm. And then after a little bit, you go, your phone goes flat and you go, great. Mm. If you don't have a choice, you know, if the option is, oh, we're about to drive into town and get some stuff, well, yeah, I'll plug it in. But if you're genuinely not got service, eventually you start going, this is awesome, you know.
We went on a friend's catamaran a couple of years ago out to Fitzroy Reef off Queensland.
Yeah.
And once we were out there, there was nothing, no coverage. And so the phones were away. And then we came out of the reef and started heading back towards the mainland. We're all standing up there with our phones, look, oh, coverage. And so now everyone's back on the phone.
Yeah.
Whereas when we were there without the phone, it was great.
Yeah.
Because that was just one thing that wasn't an issue.
Right. And I think it's one of the, well, it definitely is one of those things like, you know, exercising, eating healthily, you know, not drinking too much or, you know, not using drugs, whatever, that a lot of people in the world know is the right or the wrong thing to do, but you still do it. Mm. I think it falls into that category, you know. We know that our phones aren't healthy for us. Mm. We still do it. I still charge my phone next to my bed.
Do you? Okay.
And I shouldn't, you know. I need to get to a point where I charge it in the kitchen.
Yeah, well, I suppose in your job here in Adelaide, you need to be available to take a call in the evening if something's going to change for the next day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that makes it hard. Now I have two phones.
Yeah, work phone and your own phone.
Yeah, walking around like this, walking around one in each. Yeah, one for each pocket.
Yeah.
Don't have anywhere to keep my wallet. Don't need it because my card's on there. But that's like a best example of how they've made it, you know, and especially here in South Australia, you got your license, your bank card.
It's so clever. You don't need it, but as soon as there's a loss of internet, you're in big trouble because you can't get any of it.
Yeah.
That'll be funny, won't it?
Yeah, totally. And they're saying, well, the proverbial they, are saying that that's, you know, the next war crimes is going to be that. Mm. You know, we dealt with a pandemic that was, you know, a huge, what appeared to be like a big social experiment in some regards. Not that I have much to say on that, but then the next one would probably be, you know.
Well, you won't be able to shop if there's no internet.
Even if you've got cash, because they probably need to, you know.
They need to scan your item out to say that it's been bought so that it can be reordered.
Yes, and that's going to take internet.
Yeah,
it's super interesting.
We've just relied on it with no backup plan.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know any phone numbers except mine and Ailey's.
Right.
And I barely know Ailey's.
Yeah.
So whereas when I was a kid, and I still know my home phone number.
Yeah, me too. I think most people...
Because we remembered stuff. You had a book with maps in it that you navigated by, and you remembered how to get somewhere and you remembered street names, whereas now you just follow the line.
Yeah. So, and that's a really good point.
Mm.
So I used to remember phone numbers and birthdays, and I would remember my entire friendship group at school, you know, friends, parents, birthdays, and I still remember quite a few, and I'll get them pretty close. But maybe that's just part of getting older as well, and you know your memory's not as good. But I feel
it shouldn't be.
No, no, that's right.
If we're not training and using our memory daily on the remembering of things, we now don't have to remember anything.
Yeah.
So that's the fascinating part.
Yeah.
We're not training our brains to remember.
No, and
you don't need to.
And I think people don't seek that discomfort of like trying to learn and trying to remember things as much as what we can.
Mm.
Understandably, like it's nice to be comfortable and not have to remember birthdays. And that's actually probably a negative of not having social media is I miss people's birthdays now.
Mm.
I don't see, and I could spend...
Your mine's tomorrow. So
happy birthday, mate.
That's what you need.
Or remember, you'll get a text now. You get a text.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah. But you know, with Facebook, you see the birthday and it comes up and you send it and stuff. But the ones that are important, you remember.
Mm.
And
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it just makes those ones more special.
They're in your calendar.
Yeah, yeah. And that's probably what I need to do. It's good having conversations like this is maybe while I've still got a Facebook account, reactivate it, go through, pick all the birthdays that I want to have saved that come up in my phone.
And
just have them pop up in my phone calendar and get reminders for them.
Mm.
It's a good idea. Yeah.
I use my calendar for everything.
On your phone or in your... do you have a physical calendar? A paper calendar?
No, phone calendar.
Well, me and my girlfriend just bought a paper calendar.
Okay.
Yeah. Just because we thought it's fun to have, you know?
Mm, it is.
And then we're adding things to the phone and the paper calendar.
Mm.
It's like the paper calendar is the novelty now.
Yeah, you'll be buying a street directory next.
Yeah, my mum bought me a map the other day. Yeah.
She's figured you out.
She has, yeah. She knows me. Yeah.
What hope do you have for the 2-year-old in the pram that's holding an iPhone?
Probably more hope than the 10 or 12-year-old.
Why is that?
Because I think that the parents are getting, cottoning onto it more now, but I don't know. I know that most parents, and I can't comment on parenting because I'm not a parent and I never would. My sister's got
one of the hardest jobs you'll ever have.
Yeah, probably the hardest with the least amount of training.
None.
Yeah, yeah. And so my experience of kids and their, you know, their upbringings and growth in young humans is to do with teaching, and I have them for bits and pieces. So I, like I said, I can't comment on it, but I know that majority of parents who give their kid a screen go, I know that's not what I, but I've got no other choice right now. They just need it. My sister, it's crazy.
It's like a pacifier, isn't it?
It is. Mm. But she's got two kids. One could not care less, won't sit and watch the screen for more than 2 minutes at a time. And the other one is all they want. You know, same upbringing, same environment, same people. And one loves it and one doesn't mind. And that, I think that's just humans. We're different. Mm. But what hope do I have? I have more hope for the real little ones than I do for... And I think the other thing that's changing in the world is there's more research and more things happening in the well-being and mental health realm. And they're starting to teach things like mindfulness and meditation at school. Like, I've rocked up here today and you guys have installed this ice bath. You know, there's all sorts of things like that are coming out.
Good for you.
Yeah, that people are like, yeah, this is, you know, really good for you. And I think that the world's getting better at that. And so I think the correlation will happen more and more that, like, you know, you leave the phone at home when you go for your walk on the beach or...
Yeah, I do that. If I go out for breakfast, I don't take it. If I go anywhere to visit someone, I won't take it, or I'll leave it in the car.
That's good.
I got this from you, by the way, since our last conversation. I've removed the app for Instagram, Telegram, and all the others. The only one I've kept is X.
Yep, which was Twitter.
Twitter, yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't miss it. And there's probably people that think I still exist there, but I'm not there.
And you've still got accounts?
Yeah, I haven't gone to that level yet. I didn't know that was a thing.
But so what I would do is, and I'm not here to give advice, but what I did and worked well for me is deactivate it and see how many people... notice.
Oh, okay. So people can see the accounts.
They'll notice that you're gone.
Right. Okay.
Well, they won't.
Yeah.
And so what I realized is no one even noticed until down the track when someone said, you know, you're sitting there around a table and they go to post a photo and say, what's your Instagram? You say, oh, it's, you won't find it. Oh, how come? You know, that sort of thing. But if you deactivate it, I think Instagram gives you 30. No, that's if you delete it, you get 30 days. You can deactivate it as long as you want.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then they make it really hard to find, the deactivate button, and really easy. You just log back in.
Ah, okay.
Yep, of course they do.
Yeah. But I've found that I haven't missed it, and I've been thinking about, you know, how to keep in contact, and I like your idea. I'll just ring them.
Yeah.
If they're important people to me, then I need to make a different effort.
Yes.
And I'll ring them, or I'll text them and say, I was just thinking about you.
Yeah, or when you take the photo of you and Ellie going for a paddleboard or something, you think, who's going to love this? And it might be a group message. Like, I'm all for group messages.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like group messages because they end up being rambling. I love that.
Group message is your way of participating in a kind of a tighter social media.
Yeah.
Where you're more in control, maybe.
Yeah. And some people are really good with social media. You know, you see people who have next to no followers, they don't post much, they use it for like art inspiration and inspiration for all sorts of things, and, you know, travel. And so some people are great with it, but I think majority of people would scrolling, tapping to like something, you know, and then posting, post to boast. There you go.
You were talking about like the dating apps.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine what it would be like to have to date from one of those things, because it would appear that maybe men are too scared to approach a woman. They're more inclined to approach her via an app. Would you agree with that or not?
I don't know about saying in general that men would be more inclined to approach a woman through an app. Definitely some, and depends on the situation. And so I have been on the dating apps over the years, and I actually reconnected with my girlfriend through a dating app. We'd met years ago, and we saw each other on this app and sparked conversation straight away and went for a coffee pretty well the next day, I think. I think the jury's out there on how, and one of my best friends is married, about to have his second kid, and they met purely through a dating app. And actually, one thing that I think happens on regular social media, Instagram, nowadays, and this didn't happen when I was younger, not as much. Maybe it did, and I just didn't know about it, but people will know of someone in their outer circle that they haven't actually met with or conversed with yet, but they know who they are and be attracted to them, whether it's physically or, you know, they've heard what type of person they are, whatever it is, they'll be probably physically for the most part, and they'll add them, start following them.
Okay.
As a way to reach out and say, like, you know, hey, I've noticed you or something like that around, which is interesting. I don't know what my opinion is on that.
But would you be inclined to go to a nightclub or something and go up to a woman and just start chatting?
I was never very good at that.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, one of my, Maddie, you know, she said the other night that they were out and no blokes come and talk to them. They're standing in a group of women. It's intimidating.
Yeah, there's probably other factors there too, I'd say. I think there'd be a lot of other factors there of, you know, fear of rejection, fear of being, you know, accused of something.
Yeah, that's right.
I hear from a lot of guys who are really worried about that, talking about dating apps. Yeah, they're an interesting world. Yeah, I would be on them and then delete it and go, no, this is not how I would like to meet people. And then, you know, you'd meet someone and catch up a few times, and it often to me felt forced, you know.
Well, for me, I've never been on one. I've seen them, and I'm not a prude, but the idea of like asking someone to send me a nude picture of themselves doesn't make sense.
Right. Yeah, see, and I haven't seen much of that on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's definitely out there.
Yeah.
I know it's out there.
Yeah. It's like, well, if you're prepared to send me that, well, who else have you sent it to? It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, it's interesting. It's funny. My phone's going off in my pocket, and the urge to grab it, because it's just vibrating there.
Could be something important. But what? How important could it be?
It's not. You know, it's a text message. If it was important, it'd be ringing over and over.
We used to check our answering machines when we got home.
Yeah.
And people knew that they were going to have to wait, whereas now, like, why hasn't Adam answered?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've rung it 3 times.
Yeah, on both phones. But just that urge to grab it is like, even before... we both went for a quick toilet break before we started, and I came and sat down and was just walking around and pulled my phone out. No reason, just because I'm uncomfortable not having something. And that, I think there's a lot of study in that, of like being, mindfulness is the term used most commonly, but present is being present in your situation and just like looking at surroundings, hearing what you're hearing, you know, feeling what you're feeling, and just being in your own thoughts. And, you know, if you're at the beach, just feeling the sand and swimming and looking at the sky or whatever, as opposed to having the extra bit there,
the exactly. phone or
even a book, even having the book, you know.
Yeah.
Just sitting there doing nothing is uncomfortable. And people find it, that's what I find funny, is people find it uncomfortable to see you sitting there doing nothing. You know, if you go out for dinner by yourself, which I've done a lot of traveling over the years, and you don't have a phone out and you're just sitting there just watching the world go by, I find that people find it to be like, it's like sad, or, you know, because you don't have something, whereas you're on your phone, it's okay. Yeah.
Like if you and I were standing here having a chat and your phone rang, you would pull it out, you would answer it mid-conversation with me, you'd turn your back on me and you'd walk away.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't even know you've done it, and I'll be going, oh, well, that's the end of that, see ya.
Yeah.
And I'll turn and walk the other way.
Yeah.
And our interaction's now over.
Yeah.
We're not even going to pick it back up.
Right. It's crazy.
And we let that happen.
Totally. And it happens, I think it happens more in a group setting than we realize, you know, and I'm guilty of it.
I think we
all are. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. But it's like these devices that are meant to increase our connection and make our connection easier. But it's not the same.
So I feel like it's almost antisocial.
Yeah.
Instead of being social media, it's antisocial media.
Yeah. Yep.
To me, social is this, eye to eye, having a chat. We go down, we might have a paddle or whatever. We might go for a mountain bike ride. That's social.
Well, and it's real.
Real.
It's real, you know. We go for a paddle together and the strap on the roof rack breaks and we solve that problem together, you know. Or we're out on the paddleboard and we experience something together while we're out there, you know.
Mm.
That's true connection, and I think, you know, that's how you... And we've all had an experience somewhere where... And I use traveling as an example because I feel like everything's amplified when you're traveling. Where you've been on holiday and something goes wrong and, you know, you might have an argument with whoever you're with or you might laugh about it at the time, but whatever it is, afterwards... You remember that. You don't remember the road trips that go perfectly and nothing goes wrong. And in that moment, you don't necessarily, or I don't necessarily realize, like, this is classic. This is going to be a memory for him. Some people are really good at that. I know a fair few people who are good at that. But that's the sort of connection that I think we need in life, and the connection that you get through social media. It can help that, and it definitely has some good things, but I don't know that many people are tapping into that. Yeah.
You end up, I've got a mate, and we'll just send each other just stupid stuff, funny, stupid stuff, and it almost becomes a competition.
Yep.
Where you try and find the funniest stuff to send, and it was just a waste of time.
Yeah.
Now, it was good. I was interacting with him, but it was more of a superficial interaction, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah. Mm. Yeah, and that's personalised, which is cool. It's not, you know, just something that's going out there to the millions of people.
Mm.
And that's one thing I do miss about social media, actually, is I think being silly is great.
Mm.
I love if someone, you know, just the ability to talk nonsense.
Have a laugh
about nothing, you know, a joke that means nothing.
Mm.
And, you know, I hear a lot of the time people being like, stop being silly. You know, he's a bit, what's he?
Mm.
He's just talking nonsense, doesn't make sense or whatever, things like that. Like, that's great. As long as you know, you're doing it all the time and you never make sense and no one wants to have a conversation with you. But there's a good TED talk by Sam Simmons, who's a comedian from Adelaide. He's just the weirdest comedian I've ever come across. And he talks about that, just being silly and how good it is for you to just have a laugh.
It's important.
But I miss that about social media. Like, you know, I still get a bit in group chats and stuff. Mm. But just the, you know, someone sends you something, like you said with your mate.
Mm.
That's actually one thing that I liked about it.
Mm.
Just having a laugh.
Yeah.
Because laughing's good for us.
Well, in the world at the moment, I think there's a bit of doom and gloom going on, and to be sending funny stuff, it's, you know, if you're laughing, then it's great.
Yeah. Mm. Keeps us alive, I think. Yeah.
What do you think, like, you said you wanted to do something in this area to try and help people. What do you think that could be?
Well, I've never studied after high school. And so I'm intrigued to study psychology would be the thing I'm most passionate about. And if I did that, I don't know that I'd want to be into clinical psychology. I think my drive is more around, like, not necessarily educating, but maybe inspiring the general population, you know, the people who aren't struggling with their well-being and mental health, but the people who aren't passionate about it, and doing more for others around them in that area. And I, you know, pipe dream, like, maybe one day, and I need to do it because I keep saying it, is some sort of outdoor adventure camp or outdoor adventure trips that are designed around building positive well-being and mental health, and include some sort of technology cleanse in that. And potentially it's, you know, corporate, potentially it's, but it's not around team building, it's more around, you know, because I think that's been done by many different companies.
Mm.
It's around just like personal growth and
yep.
mindset and almost like, you know, life coaching camps.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'd go on one.
Yeah. I would too. I reckon it'd be great.
Mm.
Yeah, but it's just something that's pretty overwhelming to think about starting something like that. And where do you go? And
I don't know. There could be already something in Australia like that.
There are some, yeah.
But maybe not for kids.
Yeah. Yeah, and that would be my main sort of one of my non-negotiables is that it's not for, it's for everyone.
Mm.
It's for kids who are struggling,
yeah,
or kids who are doing great and, you know, having everyone find the benefits of doing that
sort
of stuff.
Well, don't they say that about the failure?
About?
The tall ship?
Oh, yeah.
Is it the failure or the other one?
Not the one and all.
The one and all that they take the kids failure. On and they... 7 days later, they're different kids.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know, learning how to sail. They're up and down. They're pulling ropes. And
they've got a bit of purpose out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Operation Flinders might do something
similar. Yeah, Operation Flinders, I think, is pretty good.
Mm.
Yeah, and maybe that's where I end up is, you know, starting your own business is overwhelming. Find someone that already does it and go and work for them.
Mm. Yeah, well, you kind of do.
Yeah, yeah. Probably the summer camp is more so my passion, the education side of it and water safety, what I do here in Australia, which is curriculum based. And I think that's super important. It's not as much as what I'm passionate about, you know, with the well-being side of it. And yeah, because I think a lot of people just miss out on that stuff. And you know, it's not necessarily just activities and being outdoors and connecting to nature. It's just like things like challenging yourself, you know, like, I'm learning Spanish at the moment and I'm sort of learning it for a purpose because I like to travel to Spanish speaking countries, but the main purpose of it is to just put myself in an uncomfortable situation and it's good for you to do something like that. And I think a lot of people in the world are like, oh, I don't want to do that. I won't be good at it. Yeah, but it's proven that that's good for you to go and learn something new. And I think you're quite good at that by the sound of things. You like to learn new stuff. And
I try.
Yeah. It's hard, it's difficult, and you've got to spend money. Like you spend money on learning this thing that you're like, I'm no good at it. Yeah, and it's funny, like I feel somewhat not qualified to be talking about it because I don't have any experience. Well, I mean, other than working with kids, I guess, but no experience in that realm.
Yeah, but you've thought about it and you've taken steps to change situations that you're in. So you're highly qualified.
Thanks. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why I think about it so much. I just do. Think about it a lot. That's probably one of my downfalls is I think too much and I need to switch off. And and that's with the phone, going back to it, tying all of this together, I think it's a focus, an attention, and a presence thing.
Mm.
And I think a lot of the time the phone is like a switch off for people. It's start scrolling Instagram and everything else you can switch off from. Yeah.
Well, you can't even, if you're going to a room and someone's scrolling and you ask them a question, they won't even acknowledge you.
No, a lot of the time,
yeah. No idea you're there.
Yep. Yep. 100%. Yeah. And so, you know, I'm probably, like I said before, I like to be productive. Did I say that? Or did I just think it? I like to be productive. And I think that actually ends up being a negative thing for me because I'm trying to do too much and need to just sit, relax and do nothing. And then there's this thing in my pocket that, you know, when you do sit, relax and do nothing, you're like, I'll just get that out and have a quick look at boats and have a quick look at that.
Mm.
Yeah. And even having this chat's inspired me more to put it away. Not for a couple of days. Ash is still overseas, so I'll have the phone close by until then. But
Yeah, I wonder if there's like such a thing where, you know, you make a conscious effort, say, all right, on Saturdays, I'm not having it.
They make phone safes.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. So there's I don't know the product name or anything, but yeah, or you know, even just putting rules like that on yourself.
Mm.
But do people follow that?
Well, it takes a while. I don't have my phone doesn't go into my bedroom.
Yep.
That's one of my rules. And at night it's on airplane mode, outside in another room on charge.
Yeah, see that's gold. What do you use to as an alarm?
It's out there.
And
my
you just
phone
hear
on
it out,
airplane mode is
which
out
is
there.
Good because that means you can't.
I've got to get up
by the time. Yeah, yeah. You've already got up and walked on the cold tiles, and you're awake.
Yeah,
I like that.
And it's I find reading. I read on a Kindle.
Yep.
I find reading on that helps me get to sleep more so than scrolling, which actually keeps me awake.
Well, the Kindle has a different light, is that right?
It's not lit. It's it resembles paper.
Yeah.
And I've just my daughter gave me one of her Kindle, and I've just discovered that you can make the page predominantly black with your text white.
Yeah,
as opposed to white with black text. And it's even better.
Blue light.
It's not blue.
Well, but that's not blue light, is what I'm saying. Yeah, that's huge.
So that's for me. And I, thanks to you, I've put those apps to one side. I didn't know how long I could last, but at the moment I'm doing pretty well. Ellie said to me the other day, I've just been advertised such and such. And I said, that's funny, I haven't been.
Yeah, right.
And I feel free because
I've lost track of you.
Yeah, I feel free because I haven't been advertised to something. And she's looked at it and gone, maybe there's something to this.
That you have, interesting.
You have your, what did you call it before? You reduce your social media. You use the term. I've forgotten it. But it's like a diet, isn't it?
A digital cleanse.
Digital cleanse, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm going to take stuff out of this from you as well because you're obviously intrigued by it and somewhat passionate about it.
When you said to me that you didn't have social media, I was staggered.
I thought, what? Which was a year or so ago.
A year ago, it was, what? Guy doesn't have social media? How is he even here?
Yeah.
And so I've been, you know, very patient but keen to have this chat.
And I like the things I'm going to take from this from you, like the phone, having it stay in another room, having it stay. And I've been better at leaving it going places, you know. If I go to the gym, I take it with me, which is pointless, you know, just in between exercises, I pull it out of my pocket. It doesn't need to be there.
Well, the gym's amazing for people on their phones because after every set, they'll be, you can watch them and they're in the gym for hours. Because
I do it. I do it for sure. I'm not on social media, but I'm on the phone. Like I still use my phone, like I said, way more than what I should. But I don't know. I really don't know what I'm doing. I'm sending messages, maybe. I'm checking the weather. A lot of the time, that's what it is.
All they're important things for your job.
Yeah. So I'm still being, I think it's productive time to me. And I'm pretty conscious of how I set my apps up. And so things that I don't want to jump to straight away and just flick through, like the AFL app for me, I'm a footy nut. I try and put that in the third page so it's not right there in front of me when I open it up. There is an app that I got and it's pointless to me because I don't have social media, but I want to check it out. It's called One Sec, I think, like just one S-E-C. And you can set it up so that when you open a certain app, so let's say I tap on Instagram, but I've programmed One Sec to, instead of opening Instagram, it opens up One Sec and it says, wait a sec, do you actually want to open that up? Gives you 3 or 4 seconds and then...
Okay.
Yeah.
Just another step before you're in.
Yeah, there was some challenges I had with it. I wanted to put it on a few things, but then if you don't click anything, it then opens up something else. So you've sort of got to set it up to, like, you know, if I click on Instagram and then I don't press yes open on One Sec, it opens my calendar.
Or your Duolingo.
Duolingo, exactly. Mm. Yeah, but it didn't have all the apps as a second option, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted it to open. I subscribed to Headspace.
Okay.
Which I can't recommend any higher. It's a brilliant app. I wanted it to open that. So then, because that's got all my meditations, you know, 30 seconds of mindful breathing.
Instagram, please. No, sucked in straight to Headspace.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit corny and stuff. You know, a lot of people find it pretty corny, I think, but I feel the benefits in prioritizing this stuff every day. My buddies, this will interest you, and whether you put this in the podcast or not. A couple of years ago, one of my buddies went through a bit of a tough time and it caught me by surprise. I was traveling and I didn't know that he was having a rough time with a relationship. And he told us all about it. And at the time, I was not in a very good headspace. Couldn't work out why for myself. And I was really, you know, concerned about some stuff that I shouldn't have been in my work life. And anyway, just noticed that I hadn't spoken to him. He hadn't spoken to me. I think he'd been speaking with some of the other boys. There's a group of 9 of us. And I said, all right, boys, what we're going to do is I'm going to record a question once every so often, and we've stopped doing it now, but for a while we did this really religiously. I'm going to record a question as a voice recording, so there's a bit more vulnerability in it, and you record one back and answer the question, and it'll be, you know, in encouraging vulnerability in some way. And so some of the questions we've done have been like, what's stressing you out right now or this week, or just how are things going, give us an update. To one of the other boys posted one, if you could go back and speak to your 12-year-old self, what would you tell him? What else have we done? Like, when was the last time? And for a while it took us a bit to calibrate it and get it to the right level of heavy. And there's no you know, you don't have to respond. Sometimes two or three will respond, sometimes everyone will respond, and we've done some really just like silly and fun ones as well, to try and recalibrate when it gets a little bit heavy, because it's not, you know, we don't want it to be like a counseling thing, but it's been magic. It's been absolutely magic.
Amazing.
Yeah, to have a group of guys in their mid-30s doing that. And you would record it, your response, listen back to it and go, oh, what am I talking about, you know? And then there'd be like, you know, maybe sometimes a day before anyone else would respond. And we set it up so that you don't respond to other people's. And so it didn't become like this, hey, don't worry about that, mate. You know, that's all good, rah, rah, rah. You know, you'll be right or whatever. It was just to, you know, give your information, and then making sure that we follow up with having conversations. And all of us in this group go for dinner every 6 weeks at the same restaurant. Whoever's available goes. If no one's available, then obviously no one goes. If two people are available, then they go. But yeah, that was pretty cool. That was magic, you know.
Boys, I love it.
We've slackened off, and this is going to inspire me to, we'll see, maybe see how this turns out, and I might even post it to them, let them to have a listen.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah.
Both of your jobs deal with water sport. Obviously, you love it. Where did that come from?
Dad.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, so Dad was a sailor, surfer, windsurfer for years, and when I was growing up, was an instructor at West Lakes Aquatics.
He was?
Yep, and I remember the day that I thought, oh, that sounds fun, I want to do that. He must have had it. They must have had a real stormy day, because he'd been boogie boarding all day with kids, and he told me a story about how a kid had put his wetsuit on inside out and back to front twice. And we were laughing about that, and he was saying boogie boarding. I thought, that sounds like a pretty fun job. And we'd go, like, Dad, I remember Dad took me surfing when I was 8. And I probably shouldn't discredit Mum too for that. She would take us to the beach every day after school in summer. Not to do sort of activities as such, but, you know, just have a boogie board and just to play and just hang out on the beach. So yeah, Mum and Dad definitely, and grew up in a beachy suburb, Seacliff, so we were always there and around it, and Dad would take us over to Yorks or down south and surfing mainly. Then I got into sailing a bit more when I was a bit older and realized that, you know, you don't have to just be charging big waves to be having fun. You can have fun just cruising and taking friends out and stuff like that. Yeah.
So you looked up to him?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Probably still do.
Yeah, for sure. He's a bit of a guru.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he runs a pretty large operation of a sailing school. And, you know, I see all these other kids that, you know, look up to him, and he helps out and helps this little community of all these grommets running around at the yacht club. But that's definitely where that inspiration came from.
And it stuck with you.
It has. Yeah, it's funny, you lose it a little bit. I mean, not everyone does, but I've lost it a little bit in working in it for so long.
Okay.
Just a tiny bit, and it comes in waves. But I, you know, if I get a really nasty day of weather on the weekend, part of me is relieved that it's like that, because I can sit and do nothing and not feel like I should be out there, you know, going and surfing. I should be going and enjoying this weather. And
that's the interesting thing about surfers, is the apparent obsession.
Yeah.
That if there's good waves today, I've got to go.
Yeah.
Because they might not be there tomorrow.
Exactly.
And I didn't understand that till I met Ellie.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's living somewhere like we do, where it is, you know, there might not be waves for another week. You do feel like, I've got to go. And I've got to drop everything to do it. And if I'm not doing it, I'm going to be thinking about that. What did I listen to recently? It was a podcast, and it was talking about the, you know, the term FOMO, fear of missing out. they changed it to JOMO and the joy of missing out.
Okay.
And they're basically, well, I'm not going to do it justice, but talking about, to use an example, you know, let's say there were waves right now. It was pumping down the beach and I woke up this morning and I thought, oh, should I cancel on Ant and not do this podcast and go surfing? No, I better not. I need to be here. And then now I'm sitting here in this room and I know there's waves and I'm fearing distracted. That I'm missing out and distracted. I'm not present in this and I'm fearing that someone else is out there getting the wave that I would have got. You know, that's that FOMO. And so the joy of missing out is, how cool is this? How grateful am I that I've met a really lovely bloke who does podcasts, wants to talk to me, has this nice comfy couch, whose wife I work with, and you know, obviously we have a good enough working relationship that she's happy for me to come to her house and do a podcast with her husband, and just that, and enjoy what you, there's a reason why you're missing out on it.
So you've flipped it.
Yeah, and like, you know, if I'm missing out on going to a party because I've got kids, and this is an example that I don't resonate with because I don't have kids, but I can't go to that party because I've got kids, or like, how good is this, I've got kids. You know, there's a reason why, there's a really positive reason why I didn't go do the other thing because of this. And maybe, you know, maybe the reason why you're missing out on something isn't positive, you know, because you've broken your leg or you know, you don't have the money to go to it or something like that.
Yeah.
But if the reason you're not going to do something is because you're doing something different, how good that you've got something that actually trumps that.
Or, yeah,
I don't
totally.
Know. It resonated with me a bit. It was like, because I get a fair bit of FOMO, but I'm like, nah, this is...
Well, from what I can gather, not being a surfer, there's a humongous element of mental health gains by surfing.
Definitely.
And that's, to me... That's how I understand why you guys want to be out there. Because there's something magical about being out there where it just flips a different switch.
Totally. Yep. I don't think it's not a secret that surfing is good for your mental health. Especially if you're really conscious about how your relationship is with it. And for me, so I find myself, you know, questioning my own ability a lot of the time.
Okay.
And
even though you've been doing it since you were 8.
Totally. And if I compare myself to the general public, I can surf pretty good. But if I compare myself to a lot of other guys who surf as much as a lot of other people who surf as much as I do, I'm terrible. You know, I'm awkward looking. I get a sore back really quickly. I'm not a fast paddler. You know, I can't surf big waves. I get terrified in big waves. My body falls apart. My shoulder dislocated a bunch of times. So all these things, but I start comparing myself to that. And then I get in my own head and stuff. And so I find for me that it's the journey and the experience of it that I actually benefit from. Maybe a little bit of the physical exercise, but the adrenaline doesn't do it for me.
Okay.
But if the adrenaline doesn't do it for you, something else will. You know, some people, that's what they do it for, you know.
Yeah.
For me, it's like the relaxation, the time spent with friends. I really like surfing down south and going with one or two other people. And that's
making
just
a day of it.
Yeah, you've got an hour in the car on the way there. You've got an hour in the car on the way back, plus half an hour at a bakery, which you do without even questioning whether you're going to go to the bakery or not. You just pull in and everyone agrees. And that connection, like, I've got some friends who I surf with and sort of bump into around the place otherwise, but that's what we do to catch up. And that's, how wholesome is that? You know, that's so much, you know, get up at 6 a.m. when the sun's still coming up, go for a surf. You know, whether the surf's any good or not doesn't matter. That's the part of it that I get the kick out of. And then, you know, surfing small waves and just being out there and, you know, having a laugh with friends. That for the mental health side of it's huge. Yeah. And just getting in the water too. Talked about your ice bath, just being in the cold water.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a book called Blue Mind. Have you read it?
No.
I'll bring it around to you. It's about the positive... benefits on the brain with to do with water. So being near the water, even just living somewhere where you can see the water, pictures with blue and just the color blue, drinking water, talks about those, I don't know the term for them now, they're like baths where it's pitch black.
Okay.
And all you can feel is the water,
like a float tank
maybe. Yeah It's a bit wordy and it's very neuroscience driven. So there's a lot of big neuroscience words that I didn't understand a lot of it, but yeah, I'll have to share it with you. Blue Mind, it's by some surfer from Santa Cruz, California.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about, because just going, stepping out in there, what is it, 100 meters away, and diving under, and you're just under the water, it's so good for you.
Yeah, and then you come back home and you're salty and sandy and you feel good. So good for you. And better acknowledge that we're both very privileged. Maybe we've worked hard to get it, but a lot of people don't have that privilege of being able to do that.
Well, I haven't had it so much, and I can definitely feel it and appreciate it.
Mm. Yeah, the more I talk about it, the more I get like passionate about, you know, my mental health and my like personal growth and like things. What else can I be doing that's good for me? You know, I've been trying while Ash has been away, just because it's, you know, been missing her, and I'm you know, back to sort of living a single life, trying to wake up the same time every day, go to bed the same time every night, have dinner, like eat my meals at a good time, and go for a walk every night after dinner. When I saw you guys, I got a young fella who worked at the camp staying at my house. That's who I was with the other night on the beach. But trying to go and do those things at the moment and get that routine really good. And I see the benefits in it massively. You sleep better.
I find I sleep better if I have dinner early.
Yes. It was a 10-3-2-1 rule.
Okay.
Did we talk about that the other night? No.
No.
Someone else. So 10 hours before bed. No, do you drink caffeine? Do you drink coffee?
One in the morning.
Yeah, I'm usually one a day. I've been having two a day while I've been on holidays, but 10 hours before bed, no caffeine. 3 hours before bed, no food or alcohol. 2 hours before bed, no more work. And 1 hour, no more screens. Now, I reckon, you know, if that's your general rule, that 3-2-1, I reckon you could pretty safely go 2.5 hours before bed. None of all of those things. No work. I mean, why should you be working 2.5 hours before bed?
No one should be. You've had all day.
And if you go to bed, like I go to bed at 9:30, that's when I've got my little alarm that's set on my phone. It's
time for bed?
Yeah.
Your time for bed alarm?
Yeah. Din, din, din. It's like it's the start of that go to sleep song, go to sleep. And so 9:30, so 3 hours before that, 6:30, you know, that's pretty early to make sure you have dinner before that every night. I usually do around then.
If you're going out for dinner, it's hard.
Yes.
But if in your household everyone's the same, it's easy.
Yep. Someone finishes work late. So yeah, that's why I'm like 2 hours, I reckon. 2 hours before bed, no work, no food, no alcohol, no screens. That's one thing I didn't talk about, is I got rid of my TV too.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah, did you want to talk about that?
Yeah.
And throw it in? Yeah, what happened? So I've always had TVs in the house. I think my grandpa was pretty anti having television. So he's probably where I got a lot of this from.
Okay.
He, you know, was very thinking out of the box with this sort of stuff. And I think he was anti television. But anyway, I've always had TVs. Had a TV in my room when I was living in share houses through my 20s. Sort of phased that out, and then bought a house 5 years ago. So I've been living by myself since. And I just had a small, like small TV, not big at all, like to the point where I couldn't have the boys around to watch the footy because it would not, you know, it just didn't work. It's too small. And it got to the point where it was such an old TV and it was just taking up the lounge room so much. Like you go to everyone's lounge, right now we're sitting here on the couch and it's still when there's a big TV behind you. You know, I'm sure that's the same in your other living spaces.
No, we don't have any up there.
You don't have any upstairs?
No, that's why it's down here.
Yeah, cool. I like that. And I'm not saying, like, you know, with kids, with families who like enjoy watching movies and stuff, got to have a TV. But I just wasn't watching it. And my lounge room was revolved around this thing that was never turned on, ever. And I was like...
We arrange our furniture for the TV.
Yeah.
And oftentimes that's the wrong way to arrange your furniture.
Yes. I don't know much about feng shui, but I'd like to know more. And so what I did was I took my TV out and I put an amp in the corner, a guitar amp, went and bought a $300 cheap, nice guitar amp and some plants and stuff. And now the lounge room and sort of the breakfast bar, it's like an open space to the kitchen, dining and everything, sort of is a bit of a, you know, circled off area. Where you can sit in a bit of a group, and I've still got my laptop that I'll watch some sport on occasionally, or if, you know, there's something that I've been told is really, really good, I'll hack into someone else's Netflix account and watch it. But Yeah, that's been great. And then I've got my list of things that I try and do instead of watching TV or flicking the screen on, which are play music, just fiddle around on an instrument, practice Spanish. I've got a set of juggling balls. So juggle. And then just do something that's productive in the house, you know, do some jobs and stuff, or put music on, music and podcasts, podcasts around the house. And yeah, I don't miss the TV at all.
No.
Not at all.
Well, most people have a TV in their main area and they get up in the morning and it gets turned on.
Yeah, that.
And it's still going while they're having dinner.
Yep.
And that's why we don't have one up there.
Yep.
That's our area. This is mainly for the kids, but we'll come down here and watch something on Netflix. But you wouldn't walking into this house, you wouldn't even know I had a TV.
No, you've got it well hidden.
Yep. And yeah, we don't watch the news. We haven't got an antenna on the house, so we can't watch mainstream television.
Right, you don't need to.
The only thing we watch is what we choose.
Yeah.
And
or what's the algorithm is telling you that you should watch and that you'll like.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a buddy of mine did a really cool thing over in the US. He's got this really nice world map, really well drawn, like nice, you know, soft material, warm colors, not, you know, one of the bright fluoro colors, but it's like a really nice on a scroll, and he's put it on like a blind thing and behind it's the TV.
Great idea.
It's awesome. It looks really good. You could even do something like that here, actually.
Definitely could do that.
Yeah, put something into the room. Actually, funny story, when I got rid of my TV, so I was over it. I just wanted to get rid of it. I ended up almost giving it away. I think I gave it away for free. Had one of those little Apple TV things as well. I might even still have it, so I could sort of pretend it was a smart TV and do Netflix and stuff, and I was just not using it. So I got rid of it, got the amp, put it in the corner, and I thought, well, what about sport? Like, I still want to watch sport, you know, like the footy, like the cricket. I like my American sports, I like following sport, I like the storyline of it, and I like that sport brings people together in some ways. You know, you make someone that follows the same team as you and you've instantly got something to talk about.
Yeah.
So I like sport for that. And I thought, I need to still watch sport. I know I'll get a little projector. So then I can just plug that in and I'll get it like just a soft screen, or I'll find a wall. And then I started going down this rabbit hole. So I bought this $500, $600 projector, just a small one, but it was good quality. But you know, you can buy them for like $2,000 or $3,000. I wasn't going down that far. It'd be silly to sell my TV. And then I bought a screen that rolled down and I set it up and I was like, this is great. And the screen stays up there on the roof. And then I was meant to be going to the showdown, the Crows versus Port. I'm a diehard Crows fan. And I got sick and I couldn't go. And I watched the footy on, it would have been the size of that wall here, you know, like a massive screen, at night with all the lights off, and you know, sitting sick on the couch, but just this massive footy game and watching the Crows won, and it was just unreal. And then I woke up the next morning and I went, you got rid of your TV, now you've got a home cinema, like what are you doing, man? So I went back to the shops, I returned the screen, I returned the projector, I said it had, well, I don't know, had something that didn't work, and then I just didn't get anything after that.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Felt like a bit of an idiot going around returning all this stuff.
You have to sometimes go through the motions to figure out something that doesn't serve you.
Yeah, and going back to, like, you know, look at the positive side of it. The experience I got to have while I was sick watching the footy on a massive big screen was worth the running around buying things and returning them and packaging them up again. It was great. It was awesome. It was a great game of footy.
Hilarious.
Yeah. So stupid.
Having done that, would you rather go to the actual game and watch it?
Yeah, I like going to the footy. Yeah, depending on who's playing and who I'm going with. My closest mate, who I've been friends with since I was 4, we like to go to the footy together. I still get to have a few games in before I head off to the US around the sort of third of the way through the season. But yeah, like I said, I can still watch stuff on my laptop. If I'm watching it with others, I'll go somewhere to watch it. If I'm watching it by myself, I'll just have it on the smaller screen.
Yep.
That's also, so the smaller screen, you're less, you know, you get this big telly, you know, you're real more inclined to watch things and you're more likely to use it. And then, you know, same with the phone. So I got the mini iPhone because I find that it's not comfy to look at things. It's hard to browse. It's hard, so I'm less likely to want to use it. And I'm starting to think more about that, you know, what you invest in with your belongings and what you don't. You know, like I've, you're a bloke, I'm sure you can remember when you were younger and you'd go and sleep at a girl's house and their bed was always way comfier and nicer and good sheets and, you know, nice pillows and stuff, and a bloke's bed, it's like got this basically a sheet of cardboard. Yeah, just his uncomfy bed, you know, whether that's a generalization or not, it probably is, but yeah, why don't we just spend heaps of money on our bedding, because like how important sleep to you. And like the same, you know, I don't spend enough money on the things like my guitar. I've got a guitar that I've had since I was 16, so I'm less likely to go grab it and play it. So why not spend $2,000 on it, have a really nice guitar, because it's a wholesome activity and it's going to make you want to use it more. Yeah, it's like,
spend our money in the wrong places.
I think so. Yeah, I'm going to sound so opinionated, aren't I?
Totally.
Everyone's got an opinion. Yeah.
Will they, do you reckon?
I don't know.
You're a jerk.
I don't know.
Think they will. I think that hopefully what will happen is a lot of people will go, yeah, he's right. Oh, okay. Tuesdays, I'm off my phone.
Yeah, maybe.
How good would that be?
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully.
TV? No, we're not having it on. We don't need it.
Yeah.
Definitely don't need to watch the news.
No. No, I find it hard watching the news.
The news and the morning shows, get rid of them.
Yeah. I read a book recently about Rupert Murdoch and when news went from being an information source to a product to be sold. And I think that happens with everything. When it becomes... When the purpose gets lost and finance and income is now the goal, which happens inevitably with almost everything, then the innocence of it and the good nature of it and the wholesomeness of things just goes
gone.
Yep, you know, look at anything. First thing comes to mind is like surfboards, surfboard production. You know, back in the day when it was all hand shaped and the goal was to have people really get a good surf out of it and be able to surf better. Now you've got these factories that just produce them as quick as they can, as cheap as they can, and the goal is to sell as many as you can. Oh, and Facebook's the same. You know, the goal was to connect people, and then now the goal is to addict people and sell the data. You know, then the magic of it gets lost. Yeah,
but it's all not doom and gloom.
No way. And that's the thing, is we're all in control of our own.
Exactly.
You know, so it's I say all this about social media and about phones and stuff. I've still got an iPhone. I still, you know, do all, you know.
But each of us has the power to either reduce or not use. We've just got to get over the fact that we think we might be missing out on something.
JOMO, joy of missing out.
I like it.
Yeah, it's not mine. I can't even remember who said it.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, there's a podcast that I listen to, like, every episode called The Imperfects, and it's three blokes sort of a little bit older than me probably, and they're covering all this sort of stuff, and I'm just passionate about it, and that's pretty big inspiration for me, like being, you know, better, just being a better human.
I remember watching a Ben Stiller movie, I think it was called While We Were Young or When We Were Young or something like that, and they were chatting two couples about something, and one of the people in the group said, let's Google it, and the other person said, let's just not know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah.
Let's just not know.
Yeah.
We don't need to know.
Yeah. Let's just not know. And if we find out naturally another time. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy how easy it is to get information nowadays. It was also Ben Stiller, that movie that he was a photographer. The Secret Life of... No, was it The Secret Life or Something Life? Walter Mitty.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the photographer one?
Yeah.
I do this. I watch movies if I watch them.
I don't think I've seen it.
And then I don't remember almost anything from them. He was a photographer and he was trying to get a photo of the some snow leopard or some really rare creature. I think it was a snow leopard. And the whole movie builds up to that, and he gets the opportunity to take the photo at the end. He has a camera there and then he puts it down and just looks at it and never snaps the photo and just like enjoys that moment.
Yeah. It's like when you see all the people taking photos of sunsets. Just look at it.
Oh, and the phone makes it look... Well, sunsets, actually, the phone photo can look pretty good with the sunset. The moonrise is the funny one when everyone's taking photos of the moon, because it looks... You can't even notice that the moon's there.
Yeah.
But yeah, just look at it, enjoy it, and, you know, talk to...
Who you're with.
And that's the mindfulness thing, isn't it? You know, put your phone away, and I like to do a thing when I'm watching the sunset, and it's pick the point at when it starts... Because you know how it gets brighter and nicer after the sun goes down. And then there's a point where it just is dark after. So it's, as it gets better and better and better and better, try and pick the point when it turns around and starts to fade. It just forces you to look at every aspect of it.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so you'll be going, yeah, it's starting to fade now, but then you turn around and go, oh, whoa, but look over the hills now. You know, and that's, I think that's a pretty cool way of doing the mindfulness thing. And I go the other, like with photos, so going back to the phone thing. Sorry, man, I go all day.
Go for it.
The phone thing, you know, you see everyone taking photos of the sunset, or you go to a really nice place and everyone's trying to get the magic shot, everyone's trying to get the photo. I understand that, you know, it's recording your memories and things like that. And the one that bothers me is at concerts when it's nuts. I go to a lot of live music. I really, like, that's one of the things I'm happy to spend money on is going to live music. And you just see that, like, the main song, whatever, you know, artist it is, they're, when their big hit comes on, everyone's phone comes out.
Yeah.
And you can't see. You can't see so, the actual right, band. So
your phone's in the way.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas before, you know, you would just crowd surf so you could get the best view. Yeah. Or you would, you know, get there 4 hours early. So, but now you...
But also they're going to play it back tomorrow and it's going to sound shit.
Yeah, and definitely. And you're not going to have ever actually seen that because you're too busy looking at your phone and you've watched it through a screen. So the next day you're watching it for the second time through a screen. Technically, yeah. I know that's, you know, a technicality. But when you actually put it away and you look, you notice that the bass player's playing a certain way, or you notice that the drummer's throwing a drumstick away and grabbed a different one, or you notice the things around you, or you've had a time. Oh, yeah, that one bothers me so much. But I go too far. I then, you know, think this and I think, no, this is just a nice view and I'm going to enjoy it and a photo's not going to do it justice. So I don't take a photo. Then I go back through my photos after a big holiday and I'm like, I've got nothing. I've taken no photos. Like, bugger. But I'd rather that than be distracted on my phone too often. Yeah.
Maybe we need to go back to cameras.
Yeah, and a lot of people are. A lot of people are. You know, it's just bulky. It's just another thing. Phone has it all. It's got the calendar. It's got the camera. It's got...
everything you need.
Yep.
So clever.
So clever. And it's tiny. Like, they're awesome.
Unbelievable.
But, yeah, there's... you can always have too much of a good thing, I think. You know? You compare it to anything.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Oh, well, very good.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
That was fun.
I learned a lot.
Yeah, I think I did too. Yeah, it's good to chat to someone that has the same sort of values on it.
Well, I'm nowhere near as advanced as you, but I'm trying.
Yeah, but I would say that you are. I'd say that you were more advanced than me because of where you started, being older than me.
Well, I do remember what it was like without any of this stuff.
Yeah, and I do, but really only as a kid. I never had none of it as an adult. But you've
I got my first phone when I was 33, I reckon.
Yeah.
So
how old are you? I'm 34, yeah.
That's right. So imagine that, and all it was a phone that you could maybe text on.
Play Snake.
That's it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's some innocence there in that kind of life.
Definitely.
You turned up when you said you were going to turn up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't go, oh, there's surf's on, I'm going to bail. You turned up. Yeah. You didn't turn up, you're in trouble.
From my grandpa, he was in the military. He said, you always be on time. If you're not going to be on time, you let him know if you can. But yeah. Yes. But, you know, you say you charge your phone overnight in a different room. And, like, I guarantee that your phone use would be much better than mine. You leave it places more than me, you know. My attachment to social media is gone, but my attachment to my phone's still there. Like, I still use it more than what I'd like. And actually, Ash is great for that. She's really good at just putting her phone away. And we've been nonstop on our phones while she's been on this holiday, but...
Yeah, of course.
But, and that's one thing where it's brilliant, you know, FaceTime. And, like, you've got grandkids, you know, if they're away or if you're away, that connection... Like, I went away for 18 months. And so that would have been 2021. So Eddie would have been like 2, my nephew. maybe he wasn't, he turned 2 while I was away. No, he would have turned 3 while I was away. And so gone for like a really important part of his like brain developing and building connections with people. And I FaceTimed almost like two or three times a week with my sister, bang. When I came home, I was like a celebrity because he'd only ever seen me on the screen, you know, because as far as he could remember. So that's, you know, that stuff.
It's gold.
FaceTime, it's magic. It's not addictive. It's not, you know, it doesn't have advertising. It doesn't have anything negative coming through it. It's just that, you know.
Yeah.
So there are some really good parts about it. And that's what I find the key is to find what your...
Find the good bits, navigate.
Find what's good for you. Find what works for you, what's beneficial to you, and what doesn't work for you, and what's negative for you. And that's probably what I'm going to do after this chat is try and leave my phone more places. If I'm taking any inspiration from you, leave my phone at home when I go places. I'm going to go through all of my apps and say, do I actually use this? And if I do use it, does it give me joy? Like, does it actually bring me joy? And does it help me? And if it doesn't, then why do I have it? Just clogging up the phone and space? Or does it waste my time? Does it like help me? And charge the phone in another room overnight? Not yet, as of Sunday.
I'd like to also turn my internet off, but it's kind of a tiny bit inconvenient at the moment.
On your phone?
House.
Oh, yeah.
Off. I'd like to.
Disconnect it and not have it?
No, just at night.
Yep. How come?
I don't know. The Wi-Fi cruising around the house?
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know if that's a thing.
Yeah, I don't know either. I have no idea.
Surely it is. But then there's 10 other routers over there.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, how much are you actually winning by doing that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'd like to. There's no reason for it to be on at night.
No, no.
At all.
Yeah, what if someone wants to contact me? That's what it all comes down to, isn't it?
They'll come to your house and knock on the door if it's that bad.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing is, yeah, I don't know. Just where do you go with it? And people get frustrated with you nowadays too. If you don't answer your phone straight away, people get frustrated with you. You know, well, you're so rubbish at answering your phone. And you're like, oh, I went for a walk on the beach and did a bunch of things.
My daughters don't answer straight away, but they're busy. They're busy mums.
Yeah.
They're doing stuff while they're working. And it's like, that's okay. They'll get back to me and they do.
Yeah, I go days without answering my parents as well. Parents are different though.
Are they?
Yeah, you guys just do the most selfless thing in helping a human become an adult and then don't get the credit for it until we're this age and realise, you know, how much you actually did. You don't realise it when you're a kid, how much your parents do for you until you become a parent.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree with
like,
that.
Like, I don't think I even know yet. I don't think I even realise it. Should probably go tell my mum that, shouldn't I?
I think you should.
All right, that's another thing I'll do today then.
Let them know we're grateful for them.
We'll let my mum know I'm grateful for her. All right, done.
Good way to end it.
Yeah.
Good on your mum.
Yeah, thanks mum.
Okay.
Sweet.
No worries.
Thanks, mate.
No worries, pleasure.
That was good.